last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, I received in my email box, inbox, some kind of a invitation to join a novena to the Holy Spirit. I didn't read it, so I don't really know what it was really about, but the title of it was something like, Prepare for Lent by Praying to the Holy Spirit. I like the idea. I like the idea of asking the Lord how we are to observe Lent. You've heard me say this before. I didn't do the novena, and I don't really know. But I think all of us should be in the mode now, because Lent starts in 2 days. We should be in the mode of listening to God, asking the Lord, how should we observe Lent? What should we do? What does the Lord want us to do? So that it's not just our own project, but actually a response to God, response to the movement of the Holy Spirit. So that's, I think, a good idea. Like I said, I didn't do the novena, but I am listening, and I think you are too, and part of what we do in Anuin is we listen to the daily liturgy. The daily liturgy is constantly giving us the guidance, the spiritual insight, the wisdom, what to do, how to live. And it strikes me that the readings yesterday and today are very well suited to a preparation for Lent. Today we have in the first reading another passage from Sirach, this one talking about the importance of turning away from sin, the wisdom, you could say, of repentance, a wisdom which is based on the mercy of God. We turn away from sin, and we can do it with confidence because we know that God is merciful. He will forgive us. And then in the gospel, we have the story of the man, the rich man, who asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. It's a question that is appropriate for the Lenten season. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to respond? Now, Jesus is not afraid to use very strong language and to use very striking images to break into our dullness. Yesterday, perhaps one of the most striking images was the idea of wooden beams in our eyes. It's so weird. It's so absurd that you can't even visualize it. What is he talking about? What is this wooden beam? I mean, that's impossible. Even people who have tried to put on movies about the scriptures, they can't convey that one. Even the animation. There's no way to imagine it. So why does Jesus use that very seemingly absurd image? Well, to get us to realize that we can be completely ignorant or completely blind to our own imperfections, and therefore we can be afflicting others with them. We can be knocking people over with our wooden beams and not know it. So part of Lent is, of course, to examine ourselves and see where we need conversion. Another aspect of that wooden beam image is that it's very obvious to everybody else. Maybe to the person, maybe to me, I don't see my wooden beam, but you all see it because it's always bumping into you. So if you want to know your imperfections, if you want to know your wooden beam, just ask somebody who knows you. Married people can do this easily because married couples know very well, each spouse knows very well the weaknesses of his or her spouse. And if you want to, you can find out by asking your husband or your wife. And if it's done charitably, it's a very, very big advantage to have that kind of knowledge. It's a growth in self-knowledge. Well, Jesus uses another seemingly absurd image in today's gospel, the camel passing through the eye of a needle, which he acknowledges is impossible. So it's as impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle as for a rich person to enter the kingdom. Now, why does Jesus make it that difficult? Why does he? It's as absurd as the wooden beam in your eye. I mean, you can't even imagine a camel Ananias and Ido. It's too the contrast is too great. Well, it's to shock us, you could say, into the awareness that we cannot save ourselves, that our money, our possessions, our whatever we gather to ourselves, it is not at all what makes it possible for us to enter the kingdom. We have to completely abandon that idea and in that sense, abandon ourselves. Well, we'll get to that, get back to that in just a moment. Let's just look at Sirach first, because this is a little easier for us to understand. Sirach is telling us how important it is for us to give up sin, to turn away from sin. It's not just wisdom, it's a necessity for life. So he tells us, hate intensely what God hates, what God loathes. Look at things the way God looks at things. And when we do that, yes, we do. We hate sin because sin is ugly and destructive. The author of the Sirach says something like, you better do it now while you're still here, because once you're dead, you can't make any repentance and it can't give any glory to God. But this is a little incomplete. This is Old Testament, so they don't really know fully what we know about the life after death. There's just this big sense of being in the land of the dead, the nether world. But the point is still valid. While we're alive, while we're here, now is the time to glorify God, which means now is the time to turn away from sin and put our trust in His mercy. So that's a great pre-Lenten message. Well, along comes this rich man in today's gospel, who, as far as we can see, doesn't have this problem of sin. At least he doesn't seem to think he has this problem, because he's followed all the commandments from his youth. Runs up to Jesus. It says, Jesus was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him, knelt down before him and asked him this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe it's a little too subtle to interpret it this way, but Jesus is setting out on a journey, and here's a man who wants to ask him a question before Jesus leaves, as if to catch him, a last-minute addition. But as if the man himself is not going to go on the journey with Jesus. So if you read it that way, you can see that there's already a problem here. To go on the journey with Jesus is the whole spiritual life. And to not go on the journey with him is to be off the path completely. Well, the man doesn't see that beam in his eye. He doesn't realize how far off he is. So Jesus has to gradually alert him to his own spiritual condition. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. It's kind of a strange thing to say to someone who's asking how to enter into eternal life. Why do you call me good? Well, the man could say, but because you are good. I mean, you're obviously a good teacher. People follow you because you come from God and you're a reliable source of knowledge about what's good. So the man might have been surprised at being like brought up short. Why not call him good? Of course he's good. Jesus says, no one is good but God alone. Why is he saying that? I think he's trying to alert the man to the man has this conviction of his own goodness. He thinks he's good. He's just got a little bit more to do, but he's basically a very good man. And we would say that too, because he follows all the commandments, but that's not a healthy spiritual disposition to have, to walk around thinking that we're good. Because then the focus is on ourselves and not on God. And so you see what Jesus does? Don't focus on your own goodness. Don't focus on the accomplishment of your spiritual greatness or what you have to do in order to be great. So that's why it's a good lesson for Lent, right? The focus of Lent is not just on what we do. The focus of Lent is on what God does and how well we are responding to Him. That's why I started out by saying that thing about the novena to the Holy Spirit, to ask, what should we do for Lent? Well, that's to open ourselves to the goodness of God and not to close ourselves onto our own goodness. Because ultimately, the beam, the wooden beam in our eye, is ourselves. Our idea of ourselves, good or bad, whatever self-focus we have, blinds us to the goodness of God and to the goodness of God in others. So that's what this man has to discover. So Jesus says, okay, God is the only one good, so don't be so preoccupied with yourself. And what does God say? He gives a bunch of the commandments. Okay, here's the commandments. Some guidelines for goodness that come from God. And the man says, yeah, I've done all that. I'm good. Checked all the boxes. So then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love that little detail. He loved him. It was a very loving thing to do, to give him awareness of the beam in his eye. You're lacking one thing, Jesus says to him. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Abandon yourself. You can't make progress on the journey unless you abandon yourself, unless you drop this whole idea of the project of your own goodness. You can't enter, you can't even begin the first step of the journey if your focus is on yourself. That's what he's saying here. He's not talking about money. He's talking about who's in charge of your life. If you're in charge, well then your money is a big advantage. If God's in charge, money is not even an issue. That's just, if God gives it to you, use it for his purposes. If he doesn't give it to you, well then depend on him. That's not the measure. Well, at this point we discover this is where the man's weakness is. This is where his wooden beam is. This is where his blindness is. He thinks that his possessions are more important than following Jesus. And that's a terrible spiritual condition to be in. To think that anything is more important than following Jesus is a disaster. And that's why he went away sad, because he was isolating himself from the very source of joy. Okay, now that's a Lenten message to us, or a pre-Lenten message to us. Don't cling to anything more than Jesus, more than the will of God. Even good things. Don't let anything get in the way of making the journey of following the Lord. So as we stand at the threshold of the Lenten journey, we are being invited to examine ourselves. How am I like this man? What am I clinging to that's making me sad? And what is the Lord asking me to do to be set free and to enter into joy?